Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the black, Bob Zimmerman keeps the website. We go immediately to the ULA second launch of Vulcan. Sounds like good news, but Bob, a very good evening to you. What is Vulcan?
Vulcan is the United Launch Alliance's new rocket to replace both its Delta IV family of rockets, which it has retired, and its Atlas V rocket, which it has retired, not building anymore, but they still have some launches on the manifest. Vulcan is about 4 or 5 years behind schedule. It finally launched in the spring for the first time successfully. In order to get approved for commercial launches with the Space Force, with the Pentagon, it had to complete 2 successful launches. And so last week, it successfully completed its second launch, getting a dummy payload into orbit, into the orbit planned. And so they haven't yet announced whether it will be certified for military launches. I suspect it will be, but it's an interesting situation that it will be, because during the launch, 38 seconds after liftoff, an explosion occurred in one of the 2 strap-on solid-fueled boosters. Think of the shuttle. It had 2 solid rocket boosters on either side. Same on this particular configuration launch of Vulcan, it had 2 solid rocket boosters on its side as well, both built by Northrop Grumman. And one of them had an explosion at its base, and apparently its nozzle blew off. And what we saw next was that material being thrust from the rocket, the jet, was no longer matching the other booster. It was spread out more, no nozzle. It wasn't controlled. And the rocket had lost some thrust. So the main engines had to compensate for this. It also had to make sure that the path continued straight because it was no longer symmetrical thrust from the 2 solid boosters. And it managed to do that, and it did it well, and then the solid rocket boosters finished their job and were released, and it proceeded on to orbit. That incident, though, raises questions about whether the military should certify it. In a real sane world, there's no way they should certify this. They're going to have to review, figure out why it happened. They'd have to inspect every single solid rocket booster that the Vulcan's going to use that Northrop Grumman has built. They've got to make sure they've got that fixed. So in a real practical world, no one would certify this. No one would use it. But I think the military's going to certify it because it's got launches scheduled. It's got to get them off. And since it did manage to get into orbit, they could say, well, the main Vulcan rocket worked. So that's that. But now this has other ramifications, this issue. Not only do they have to certify from the Pentagon, but the FAA is involved. The FAA, or not involved, which is what's really interesting. This is the dog that didn't bark. The FAA immediately announced that since this incident, 38 seconds after launch, which is pretty close to Florida, which could have destroyed the rocket and sent it out of control, since this did not affect public safety, the FAA is not going to do an investigation, and it's not going to ground ULA. And I saw that immediately as demonstrating unequivocally that the Biden administration and the FAA upper management definitely has its thumb on the scales against SpaceX. Because I agree with the FAA decision not to get involved in the ULA launch, because public safety really wasn't involved, though it appeared to be. And because they have flight termination systems. If that rocket had serious damage, they would have destroyed it. It would never have landed anywhere near people. So the FAA should stay out. But the FAA has not stayed out in much less dangerous situations involving SpaceX, which is, by the way, the most reliable company, rocket company that's ever existed. It launches rockets routinely multiple times successfully. unlike ULA, which is an old-fashioned rocket company that uses expendable rockets that have less reliability, therefore, and have niggling problems routinely, such as the one I've described. But SpaceX has been grounded by FAA, and it's been grounded for absurd reasons. The most recent second grounding in months has to do with an upper stage that fired not exactly right when it was doing its deorbit burn, so that the stage came down in the ocean harmlessly, but not exactly in the right spot. And so FAA is grounded, and they continue to ground SpaceX. SpaceX did complete a launch earlier this week, putting up the Hera, Europe's Hera asteroid mission. And the reason it could launch was because the FAA said, well, there's no upper stage going to be deorbited on this. The upper stage is going to be put into interplanetary space to send the Hera mission where it's got to go. So there's no public safety, and we won't object to it. NASA, meanwhile, is the one who approves the launch. So the FAA is getting involved when it's not even involved. Meanwhile, we have battles with SpaceX. SpaceX and FAA continue their battle over Starship Super Heavy. SpaceX is now saying it is targeting October 13th, that's less than a week away, for the fifth Starship Super Heavy launch. Their primary goals will be to see if they can get Starship down, splash down safely in the Indian Ocean without any damage. They have new thermal tiles on the spacecraft that they think will work this time. And even more important, they're going to try to bring Super Heavy back to land at the launch tower, grabbed by the chopstick arms on the launch tower. Now, what's interesting is that the FAA has still not given regulatory approval, and the last thing we've heard from the FAA is they're not going to give approval till late November. So SpaceX is saying it's going to go next week. FAA at this moment says no. There are rumors that there's a lot of pressure in the background going on against the FAA to get it to go along, get out of the way. And as SpaceX was announcing here, it could be additional public pressure on the FAA, getting guys like me to report on this so the FAA looks ridiculous. And so we have to wait and see. We don't know if it's going to happen, but we still have clearly a bureaucratic effort by the FAA and other federal agencies under the control of the Biden administration to stymie the most successful rocket company that has ever been in America that has ever existed. And for no reason, it appears, but for political reasons.
Bob,
they don't like...
A couple of details, Bob. The potable water on the launch pad, has that Fish and Wildlife approved of that? Do we know anything?
That went actually, from what I understand, it actually went to EPA, but it might have also gone to Fish and Wildlife. They both might be commenting. And as far as we know right now, the FAA is waiting for those agencies, the environmental agencies, to respond back to tell us that potable water is not an environmental threat to Boca Chica.
No,
however, they have to do that. And
no
they
resolution. What about the... fuel barn, as I recall, there was a fuel depot that was in question in previous.
Yeah, I mean, once again, this is a case where they're saying this fuel depot is dangerous because it's been moved. But the fact is that it moves farther away from public, so it shouldn't be an issue. And that's one of the fine issues that's going to be a court suit. That's a separate issue than actually the launches. That has to do with the FAA imposing fines on SpaceX for ludicrous reasons from launches a year ago. At Cape Canaveral and at Vandenberg. And that's, once again, more indication that the FAA is trying to squelch this company for political reasons.
We move on to Spain, a rocket startup named PLD. What's the mission, Bob?
PLD is a rocket startup in Spain. They've done already one suborbital test launch. They hope to launch their Mayura 5 rocket orbitally next year. But this week they announced they're proposing to build a family of rockets to follow that Mayura 5 launch. And those rockets, they're going to call them Mayura Next, Mayura Next Heavy, and Mayura Next Super Heavy. Note the names. Do they remind you of any other company rocket names? This company, very clearly with these designs, is imitating SpaceX's approach. What they're doing is they're going to build a rocket, and then they're going to use that first stage of the rocket to build modular building blocks, strap-ons, like the Falcon Heavy is, And then their super heavy version would have four strap-ons. So that would make it even more powerful, make it more powerful than the Falcon Heavy. And that's their plan. They also announced that they're going to be building a crew capsule called Lynx, which will be their company's version of Dragon. It'll be capable of both cargo or sending 4 to 5 astronauts to space. And, of course, they're looking to make business with the multiple commercial space stations that are under construction. They're all going to need to get crews to and from the ground, and why not get in on that business? So that's
I can't recall. Is there a spaceport in Spain on the Iberian?
No, not at the moment, no. In fact, PLD is configuring a launch pad at French Guiana for its first launch. And they also have been talking to other locations as well outside in Europe, in around the Norwegian Sea and elsewhere. They're going to take wherever's available at the moment.
What is a laser communication tool? What does that do? What does it mean?
Okay, well, from the beginning of the space age, all data that has gone up and down from spacecraft has been transferred using radio frequencies. And there are limits to how much data you can get up and down and the speed you can get it up and down with radio frequencies. Now, of course, the technology's improved. We've got exponentially more data coming up and down than we ever have. But with optical technology, we use optical, cables now all the time. It increases the amount of data you can go back and forth using optical wavelengths rather than radio wavelengths. And they now, using the Psyche asteroid probe, they've been testing laser data communications from space. And so this last few weeks, they actually succeeded in using a laser communication system to set a data connection record of almost 300 million miles distance. And what this means in the future is that projects, missions to other planets, manned or unmanned, when they start using laser technology instead of radio, they'll be able to transmit exponentially more data faster, quicker. And that will get around the bottleneck of the deep space network of antennas on Earth that can only do so much. And you have a lot of missions out there. You certainly have a limitation. And this is now successful, and it's being successfully tested on the asteroid probe Psyche going to Psyche.
Sunday, October 13th, Starship 5th test, maybe. Bob Zimmerman, we're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.